So our series through the summertime, the summer Sundays, we're looking at questions Jesus asked. Jesus is a master teacher, and one of the ways we find that he teaches us is by asking questions. And we have been having the privilege these summer Sundays to look at some of the different questions that Jesus asked. And as we're looking at these questions, we have three main ideas in mind. One is that we think well, right? That we hear Jesus teaching through his questions, so we learn how to think well as Jesus teaches us. But the second thing we want to do is we want to respond well from our hearts, so we want to worship well. So our goal in these summer Sundays is to walk alongside of Jesus, to experience these events with Jesus, to think well about his questions, to respond well from our hearts in worship. But also, the third objective, really, as we're walking with Jesus these summer Sundays, is that we will actually live well. Right? So we think well, we worship well, and that we change. We change to become more like Jesus, because that's our goal of coming together. We come together to seek to become more wholehearted followers of Jesus. So today's question is this: why did you doubt? Why did you doubt? What is the opposite of doubt? Faith, what's another word? Believe, trust. These cluster of words, right? The opposite of doubt is believe, faith, trust. On this doubt side, we also have the word fear, right? Often we have doubts and fears. And Jesus' question this morning is the question, why did you doubt? The context of this question is a storm. And in particular, what I want us to notice today as we go through is that this storm, can you go back one? Yeah. This storm is a storm where only the 12 disciples of Jesus are involved in this story. Only. Okay? There's 12 disciples that Jesus called. And this particular event, this particular miracle, is for their eyes only. And it's very important for us to notice this as we begin. So 12 disciples are in the boat. Jesus has sent them off onto the lake. It's nighttime and it's stormy. And they're afraid for their lives because it's the middle of the night and the wind is howling. This is a mixed crowd on the boat, right? Some of the disciples are seasoned fishermen, right? So we think Peter, James, John, other people. Probably they knew how to handle boats, but if they were afraid, imagine Matthew, a tax collector, an accountant. Imagine that on the middle of a sea in the middle of the night. Imagine how afraid he was. But here's these 12 friends of Jesus, and they're in the middle of the lake, in the middle of the storm, and there's much fear. They're all afraid for their lives, and then suddenly someone appears on the water. And we know it's Jesus. It's Jesus, and he's doing something that's humanly, physically impossible. He's walking on the water. And suddenly the fear that the disciples had turns to terror, and they cry out, "It's a ghost!" And Jesus says to them, "No, my friends, don't worry. It's me. It's me. I'm here. I'm here with you." And Peter is one of the disciples that we've come to know as one who is ready to speak first, ready to jump out and do whatever. And he says, "Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you." And so Peter, Jesus says to him, "Yeah, Peter, okay, come on. Come on out." And listen carefully to what happens here. Peter, who was with the other disciples in this humanly difficult situation, right? In the boat, it was difficult. They were fearing for their lives. They were struggling against the waves. It was a very difficult situation. And Peter steps out of this humanly difficult situation and he steps into a humanly impossible situation. Right? Who can walk on water? It's physically, it's against the laws of nature. We sink, right? Peter steps into this sea And as long as he's looking at Jesus, everything is fine. But then suddenly he notices where he is, and he looks around, he becomes frightened, he begins to sink. And instead of being overwhelmed by the miracle of Jesus walking on the water, he's suddenly overwhelmed by the storm that's around him, and he begins to sink. And Jesus, it's hard for us to imagine what Jesus was like at that moment, but there he is. We imagine perhaps in the middle of the storm, he's calmly just walking on the water, because he's the Lord of creation, right? So he's just walking on the water. He reaches down to Peter, and he pulls Peter's hand up and pulls him to him. And this question, why did you doubt, is the question that he asked to Peter. Peter, why did you doubt? Why did you doubt? Jesus asked this question, and I believe behind this question is another question. Peter, don't you know who I am? Don't you know that I'm the one who thought of winds and waves? I'm the one who created the whole universe. It's impossible for you to walk on water. It's really nothing for me. And Jesus is revealing himself to Peter and revealing himself to the guys who are in the boat in a very, very special way. The thing about this story is this. This miracle is for the eyes of these 12 close friends of Jesus. And I believe this whole series of events in Matthew chapter 14 is a very special gift for these followers of Jesus. It seems to be a gracious gift from God for this purpose. Jesus wants to build their confidence of faith. Jesus wants these 12 people to know for sure, without a doubt, who he is. And so he walks on water. Which, how can we understand that except for one who is the creator of everything, the creator of life? And through this incident, Jesus gives his closest friends this gift of faith. We know as we read through the story of the Bible, later on, Peter, James, John, and all the others will go through many storms in life. And what Jesus is doing in Matthew chapter 14, he is building their faith so that when they face these storms, they will be persecuted, they will be flogged, they will be fed to the lions, they will be stoned to death. In these storms, they will look back and remember who Jesus is. They will remember this incident. I believe that Jesus is building their faith strong, so that they would know he really is the Lord of creation. He really is the Lord of life. At the end of this story, as we will see in a few moments, the end of this story, Jesus steps into the boat, and the disciples' response is what? They turn to him and say, "Truly, you are the Son of God." You see what Jesus is doing here? He's building their strength of faith so that they would know for sure who it is that they were having this relationship with. Who is this Jesus? I wonder if you've ever had cause in your life to doubt Jesus. I wonder if you've ever had doubt and fear in your life. Well, probably all of us have. Times in our lives when there's so many things happening that are confusing and difficult to understand. Times when you felt confused. Times when you felt like life is just out of control. Let's try to imagine a couple of examples here. So I added a little picture here. This is my wife Martha. It's a very small picture. But Martha is navigating a small boat. Martha and I had the privilege to be in Canada, and we went fishing. And we were on the Pacific Ocean, and it was quite Pacific that day. It was quite calm. But let's put Martha in this little boat, and let's pretend that we're in this little boat. It's about 18 feet long, and we're going into this wave. Martha, don't take us there. But let this be a picture of perhaps in your life you feel like you're heading into a situation that will probably capsize you. Maybe you're in that situation this morning. Perhaps it's a confrontation that's coming, confrontation with a neighbor or a coworker or a boss, a spouse, family member, a friend. And it feels like there's so much danger in this confrontation that could capsize your whole situation. Maybe you feel like you're heading into a storm because you've just received a medical diagnosis and you don't know what the future holds. Or maybe it's a loved one who's received a medical diagnosis and the prognosis is not good. And you just don't know where you're heading, but it seems like it's going to be hard. It seems like it's going to be more than you can handle. And you're heading into this storm. Maybe there's another way we can look at it. Maybe it's not so much personal, but maybe we look at the boat as our whole world, and we think of our whole world that we live in, and we realize that our whole world is pretty crazy right now. Our whole world, perhaps, we think, is heading into this disaster. With all the crazy and wacky power struggles going on in our world, with weather patterns that seem so far out of control, we fear that our whole world is heading for this crash. Or maybe there's one other way to think of it. And here's one more little picture that I added into our picture. This is a couple of kayakers that we also saw in the Pacific Ocean when the water was calm. So I put them in the storm also. But notice what direction they're going. They've been in the storm. And maybe you feel like that. You've been in a storm for a long time. But it feels like the storm keeps coming and it keeps coming. And you feel like the waves are going to crash over you and keep pounding you down, maybe financial crisis that keeps on going, maybe not able to find work, maybe you've lost a loved one, haven't been able to get back on your feet. Maybe it's an ongoing struggle with a particular sin in your life, and you feel like it just keeps on beating you down. You can't gain victory. It feels like it keeps chasing you, and you keep running the risk of being capsized. And fear and doubt characterize those kinds of seasons of our life. This story, which we want to pay attention to this morning, I believe Jesus wants to tell us this. In any and all of the storms of life, Jesus wants his friends and followers, that's you and me, to know for sure that he is the Lord of creation. He is the one who created the waves and the winds and the storms. He is the Lord of life, and you can trust him no matter what. No matter how far out of control things seem to be, he is bigger than any storm. It's my prayer today that by entering into this story, that our faith in Jesus might become stronger. That we would find hope, that we would find faith and belief and trust. That we would be honest about our doubts and our fears, and we would bring them to him. Let's look briefly at the context of the story. Matthew chapter 14, maybe you want to turn there in your Bibles. Matthew chapter 14 is a fascinating chapter. As Matthew writes this chapter, there's three main events that occur. And these three events are written in such a way that they seem to happen all at the same time. So one happens right after another. And so it's important for us to notice the context of the story. The first part of the chapter, at first glance, maybe seems a bit disconnected. It's the story of John the Baptist being beheaded. What? John the Baptist is beheaded. Who is John the Baptist? Well, he's cousin of Jesus. He's the one who announced the coming of Jesus. He's the one who said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who comes to take away the sin of the world." And in the beginning of Matthew chapter 14, King Herod cuts off the head of John the Baptist. And what we see, Jesus' response to this. In chapter 14 and verse 13, it says, "When Jesus heard what happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place." Can you imagine what's going on in Jesus' heart right now? Jesus is grieving. Because this is evil. This is horrible. He is grieving the loss of his dear friend, his cousin, the one who announced his coming into the world. Why do we look at this as the context of the story? Because we're going to look at the context of the story where Jesus wants to say, have faith in me in any storm. I am able to do anything. But what we realize through this story that even Jesus, in this world, we somehow live in this world where evil is still present. So it means that just trusting in Jesus doesn't mean that all the evil is suddenly taken away. Because we live in this season of history that we call the already but the not yet. The kingdom of God is here. Jesus has brought it, but he has not brought it in its fullness. That day is coming when Jesus will return and he will wipe away evil. But for now, we live in this season where evil still occurs in our world. We see it every day. And this is evil that Jesus observed. Jesus grieves the loss of his friend. And so this is a reminder in the context of this story that just because we can trust fully in Jesus doesn't mean that everything is suddenly going to be bright and beautiful. We still go through these hard, difficult times and suffer. The second event of chapter 14 is Jesus feeding the 5,000. It says 5,000 men plus women and children. So how big is this crowd? 10,000 and more. What about this event? This event was an amazing event, right? An amazing event, especially for these 12 close friends of Jesus. And we remember Jesus is especially focusing on these 12 men, I believe, through this chapter. But in this event, there's 5 loaves, 2 fish, and what does Jesus do? Jesus blesses, and he begins to hand out the food, and everyone eats, and 12 basketfuls are left over. This is a remarkable experience. It's an incredible story of the provision of Jesus. As you read the beginning of this story, what you see is, why are these 10,000 people gathered anyway? Why did they come to Jesus? They came because they wanted healing. And so Jesus, we have this picture of Jesus compassionately healing the sick. People are coming to him, he's praying for them, he's healing the sick. This huge crowd has gathered. Now they need food. And Jesus does something which is totally contrary to the physical laws of nature. From 5 loaves, 2 fishes, he feeds 10,000 and more people. And what's important for us to notice is that the 12 disciples are the carriers of the blessing. It's this little crowd. We can't imagine what this crowd of 10,000 really was like, but imagine someone on the far side of the crowd probably doesn't really know what's going on. Probably someone at the back of the crowd thinks Jesus has a tandoor oven or something. He's just, you know, making bread and giving it out. But the disciples know. There were only 5 loaves. There were only 2 fish. Can you imagine what's in their heart as they keep coming back to Jesus to get another 10 loaves of bread? Oh, there was only 5 there before. Now he's giving me 10. And for hours, they're spreading food among the people. Imagine what's going on in their hearts. They are seeing Jesus do something that is contrary to the physical laws of nature. Can you imagine what's going on in their hearts? Who is this Jesus? Right? And then we come to our story. Well, what we notice after this story of the feeding of the 5,000. The Apostle John, when he records the story, he records that what happened is the people are so amazed at this story that the people wanted to make Jesus king by force. Right? So we get this bit of disturbance coming. And so Jesus quickly sends his disciples away, sends the crowds away, and then we have this amazing event on the sea. I would like us this morning to see a visual representation of this story. This is from an organization called the Visual Bible. They've done many parts of the Bible. So it's an interpretation of the story. It is a reading of the text of the story from the New International Version along with an acted out version of it. I quite like it. I hope it will help you to enter into the story. But pay attention especially to what Jesus is doing for his 12 friends as we take time to look at this video, which will just take about 4.5 minutes or so.
Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side, while he dismissed the crowd. A After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. Was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. During the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified.
It's a ghost!
They said, and cried out in fear. Jesus immediately said to them,
"Take courage, it is I! Don't be afraid!"
"Lord, if it is you,"
Peter replied,
"tell me to come to you on the water."
He said, then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, cried out, "Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him."
"Oh, you have little faith,"
he said.
"Why did you doubt?"
When they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. And those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying,
"You are the Son of God."
The question I want to ask as we look at this scene is, how does Jesus reveal himself through this event to his closest friends, these 12 disciples that he had chosen? Well, let's look back once again to the feeding of the 5,000. How does Jesus reveal himself in that incident? He is the compassionate healer. He is the miraculous provider. And he entrusts his disciples with this delivery of the blessing. And so we have this sense that we've already talked about of how Jesus is entrusting his closest friends with this truth that I am the Lord of all creation. The natural laws of this earth are not limiting to me, Jesus is teaching them. And then, after that story is finished, Matthew tells us that Jesus makes his disciples go on ahead in the boat to the other side. There's a strong word that Matthew uses there. He compels them. He says, "You guys go get in that boat and go to the other side." Perhaps, as John describes, maybe there's this unrest developing. People are wanting to make him king, and Jesus is wanting to settle it down, and so he sends the disciples away, and then the crowds away. But I believe what Jesus is doing here is he's setting the scene. He's sending these 12 men onto the sea in the evening, knowing exactly what will happen. He is setting the scene for the lesson that he wants to give them. What we notice next in the story is that Jesus stays on the shore until it's almost dawn. So almost all night long, Jesus is up on the mountain praying. We could learn a lot from that, but we're looking at this from the perspective of what he's teaching his friends. Why does Jesus stay away so long? I wonder, as these 12 friends are struggling against the storm, they're struggling to maintain life, they're struggling, that Jesus lets them struggle, perhaps until they come to the end of themselves. And then Jesus walks on the water. And again, we read this story, and perhaps this story is very familiar to you. But let me remind you, this is not normal. This is not normal human activity. We don't just walk on water. Jesus is doing something supernatural. Right? He's done something supernatural by feeding all these people with a very small amount of bread. The disciples were there. They were part of it. And now they are in the boat. And here comes Jesus walking on the water. This is another unmistakable display of the authority and power of Jesus over nature. And Jesus says to them, when they're afraid, they think it's a ghost, he says to them, "Take courage. It is I." This word that he uses is a word that he uses in other places when he's arguing with the Pharisees. You remember when he said he was having this discussion with the Pharisees in the Gospel of John, and he says to them, "Before Abraham was, I am." And he uses this "I am" phrase in that context. This is the same phrase that he uses here, which gives us pictures of God speaking to Moses in the Old Testament. "Who are you, God?" "I am the ever-existent, eternal God." Jesus is making a claim here. "It's me. I am the Lord of the waves and the wind and the storms. So don't be afraid," Jesus says. Well, then Jesus invites Peter to walk on the water. Jesus invites Peter to step out of what's difficult and step into what's impossible. Step out onto the water. And how do we understand this? How do we understand this? This is a call to implicit trust. Peter had no ability himself to walk on water. But as long as he was focused on Jesus, it seems like he was walking towards Jesus. But then when he took his eyes off and looked at the impossibility of the situation, he sank. I wonder... how many times Peter thought about that later in his life? When life got difficult for him, how many times did he think back and think, "Yes, no matter how difficult this storm is, Jesus is the Lord. And I can trust, no matter what." Well, then Jesus rescues Peter. So four things happen to Peter after when he takes his eyes off Jesus. It says he saw the wind, he was afraid, he began to sink, and he cried out. Right? This is what happened when he turned away and looked at the circumstances around him instead of looking at Jesus. And Jesus reaches out, pulls him up by the hand, and he says, "Why did you doubt?" Sometimes, you know, when we read this story, we know this story. I think I have had in mind that as Jesus is asking, "Why did you doubt?" it's kind of almost like, almost condemning, you know. Why couldn't you trust me? I kind of like the way that the folks who did the film presented it, that Jesus is really laughing, enjoying this moment. And it's not so much a question that's coming down on Peter, but it's a question that's lifting Peter up. And he's saying to him, doesn't matter how difficult life gets, I want you to know that you can trust me no matter what. Why did you doubt? Know who I am. You can trust me. And then this remarkable next step happens. Jesus and Peter, they step into the boat. And what we imagine is as Jesus and Peter are out there in the water. Jesus has rescued Peter and they're hugging on the water and the storm is still raging. And you imagine the other 11 disciples in the boat and it's noisy and the boat is crashing up and down on the waves. And it's still, they're trying to keep it pointed into the wind so they don't capsize. And then Jesus and Peter step into the boat. And suddenly the wind dies down. Can you hear the silence? Can you hear the calm? Can you feel the sense of awe in the hearts of those 12 men on the boat? Something has just happened here that they had never, ever, ever seen before. Who is this one? And their hearts, the story tells us, Matthew tells us, their hearts are full of worship. And they say, truly, you are the Son of God. You see, it's about what we talked about earlier in the service. It's about the identity of who this person is. This is where our trust is. Because we know Jesus to be the Lord of all creation, the Lord of heaven and earth. And we can trust him no matter how difficult the storm might be. If we fast forward for a moment to the book of Acts, Peter and John have just been arrested. They've been held. They've been questioned. They've been let go with a stern warning from the authorities. Don't ever speak about this Jesus again. And they go and they find the disciples. And it's very interesting to me how Acts chapter 4 records their prayer. When they heard this is the prayer of the saints, including James and John and the others. When they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. And listen to how they pray to God. Sovereign Lord, they said, you who made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. Do you think Peter might have been thinking about this event? Jesus is the Lord of the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them. And Jesus wanted to help his 12 friends, and he wants to help you and I today to trust. To know that no matter how much the ship is rocking, no matter how dangerous it seems, that we can trust him. He is here. He is the Lord. So how does this story invite us to respond? I want to suggest three ways. One is that we grow in our faith and trust. This story is a story which helps us to grow in our ability to trust. And if perhaps there's been fear and doubt in your life, that's pretty normal. We all have seasons of going through times of fear, times of doubt. And Peter and the other disciples in this story showed fear and they showed doubt. But Jesus' invitation is to look at who he is and to trust. Come to know him better and better. How do we do that? We read the word. We learn in community with other believers. We come to know Jesus better. We become wholehearted followers of Jesus. And Jesus wants us to know, we saw this earlier, that in any and all of the storms of life, that Jesus wants his friends and followers to know for sure that he is the Lord of creation. He is the Lord of life. And you can trust him. Because he is bigger than any storm. And so we grow in our faith and trust. I also want to suggest we grow in courage. And we step out in faith. And this is this picture of Peter. There's so much more that could be said about Peter stepping out of the boat. Stepping out in faith, embracing life fully. Because nothing is impossible with God. And so we ask the question, how does Jesus call you? Jesus called Peter to come to him. How has Jesus equipped you? What is your calling? And are you stepping out into your calling that God has given to you in life? This is, I think, another lesson we can learn from this story. God has specially gifted and equipped you to serve him and this world in a particular way. And he invites us to step out, even when it looks impossible, and keep our eyes on him and trust in him. And this is the third lesson, I believe, is that we fix our eyes on Jesus. quite a number of years ago now, early 2000s, John Ortberg wrote a book called If You Want to Walk on Water, You Have to Get Out of the Boat. And I was reading it this week. It's quite a good read. I'd recommend it to you. It's based in and around this story. But he says this. He summarizes Peter's experience in this way. He says it was hope that got Peter out of the boat. It was trust that held him up. It was fear that sank him. Everything hinged on whether he was focused on the Savior or on the storm. It's my desire that each of us, no matter what the circumstance of life might be like right now, that through this experiencing this story, that we would learn to trust Jesus more implicitly, that we would learn to have hope and faith and belief, that we would be honest about our fears and our doubts, and that we would bring them to Him, and we would have Him receive us, remind us of who He is, so that we may walk fully in faith. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for this story. Thank you for your word that comes and teaches us, comes and equips us with hope and with faith. Lord Jesus, I pray that you'll help us to see you more clearly. I pray that you'll help us to know that you are the Lord of heaven and earth. And help us to walk in your strength. Help us to walk looking at you. Help us to be overwhelmed by you and not overwhelmed by the circumstances that are around us. So for someone here today who is walking through a particular storm, I pray that you will reach down, you will rescue, you will bring them to you, you'll give them a hug today and help them to know that you are trustworthy. And help us to help each other, Lord. Help us to walk alongside of each other. Help us to point to Jesus, who is the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. We love you, Lord. We worship you. Along with the disciples, we say, truly, you are the Son of God. We lift our hearts in worship to you. In Jesus' name, amen.